Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, right, welcome back. You know, always, as we always strive for different perspectives here on the show, we always like to check in with Chris Powell from time to time. And you can go to chrispowellcolumn.com to read all of his stuff. And initially, I wanted to reach out to Chris to talk about his piece on lobbyists and all the near record spending on lobbying in this last legislative session. But he happened to just write on, you know, the Josh Elliott and other Democrats on the left primarying some longstanding veterans in Democratic politics here in Connecticut. And so we welcome in Chris now on the show. Good morning, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, Brian. Good to be here.
Yeah, good to have you as well. You know, it seems that the response to President Trump winning and the Republicans controlling both houses in D.C. for the Democrats has been to try to shift further left. And I'm curious if you think that that's going to be an effective strategy.
Oh, it might. I mean, it worked for, you know, Mam Dami in New York. You know, people are very happy to vote for free stuff if they're confident that somebody else will pay for it. I think that's really been the trend in the Democratic Party for many years, and we'll see if it works. I mean, we'll see if the bulk of voters in the state, you know, believe that this is the direction the state should continue to go in.
You know, there's already one stated primary opponent for John Larson, and there was some reporting that Luke Bronin, the former mayor of Hartford, might primary Larson in the first district. It looks like Joe Courtney has somebody primarying him. I don't know much about Rosa DeLauro's district, and obviously we just mentioned Josh Elliott in terms of primarying the governor if he chooses to run, which I assume he does. Do you think any of these politicians will have a credible challenge here to get their own nomination, let alone win the general?
Well, you know, Luke Bronin is well known. You know, he might get a few votes in the first district. Except, I can't really understand the motivation for Democrats challenging Larson and Courtney and DeLauro in a primary. Are those three not liberal enough? They're certainly very liberal. They're in the mainstream of their party. I think the only argument that can be used against them is that they're old. They're, I guess, all on their 70s, except I guess DeLauro, I think, is 82. Yes. Now, you know, prior to the age of Biden and Trump, age was often correlated with wisdom, but, you know, maybe not so much anymore. Maybe it's more correlated with senility. But ideologically, I don't think there's any reason for liberals to challenge those guys. But maybe they'd use the age issue against them. But that's really kind of bigoted, isn't it? You know, people are disqualified from civic life if they get old, even if they're, you know, vigorous and sentient. I don't know what the argument against displacing Larson and Courtney and DeLauro within the Democratic Party is. I know an argument against it, which is those three have enormous seniority in Congress. DeLauro is the ranking member on appropriations. When the Democrats have the House, she's chairman of appropriations. There's lots of goodies that she can distribute. Courtney's on he's the chairman of the Sea Power Subcommittee, so he can help keep the submarine business in his district going. Larson's on Ways and Means. He's got the major Social Security strengthening bill, which I hope he can get passed someday. And anybody who displaces them is going to be at the bottom of the totem pole in Congress.
Yeah, it's a fair point. We're talking with Chris Powell. Again, you can read him at chrispowellcolumn.com. You know, I've said this. I don't really want to wait. It's nothing personal against Lamont. I just don't want to wait 5 years for an open race for governor. As a media person, I want it to be open on both sides, on the Democratic and Republican side, because I think it would be a lot of fun to cover. We already have several names, you know, being bandied about on the Republican side to challenge Lamont. You know, yesterday I had a conversation with Emma Sklarides. She says that she thinks Fazio is 90% in to run. Erin Stewart's got to raise a little more money, and she's in. Westport First Selectwoman Jen Tucker is in, and some others. I'm just curious, and to be the two-term incumbent, if Lamont does, in fact, run, who's got more money than anybody in the state, basically, outside of Ray Dalio, maybe, is going to be a tall order, but there are other reasons for some of them to go ahead and do it. I'm curious who on the Republican side impresses you.
Well, nobody really yet. Stewart is lively, but I don't think she's ever had anything to say. She's certainly got to be respected for winning races in Democratic New Britain as a Republican. The first selectman took hers. Not known outside her town. Ryan Fazio was made a very good impression in a short time in the legislature. I think he's probably the most likely to say something eventually, but those guys got a long way to go.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, interesting. We're talking with Chris Powell. And let's go to the lobbyist thing. I mean, I've talked to a lot of lobbyists, and I sometimes feel like Connecticut, we still have billions at stake, but it feels a little chummy at the Capitol sometimes, and that concerns me a little bit. But, you know, as you point out, spending is bordering on astronomical now on lobbying. And do you think it's a good, is it a bad thing? And what's the reason for this spike in spending on lobbyists?
I think it's largely the growth of government. You know, if we didn't have much government, you wouldn't have much lobbying. We have so much lobbying because government now is so dominant in assigning, you know, the wealth in society. There's so much regulation, so much, you know, price fixing and cost shifting, and I think that was shown by the Office of State Ethics report on the lobbying. It showed that the biggest lobby spending was done by the Connecticut Hospital Association and other hospital interests and medical insurance interests. Well, you know, why is that? Because government either spends or directs most health spending in the country, and is always shifting it around. The hospitals are always under attack from government in terms of their rates. You know, here in Connecticut, we exploit the so-called hospital tax and try to get the tax revenue back from the federal government through Medicaid expenses. You know, so much of government, and especially in medicine and insurance now, is really just a matter of government's price fixing and cost shifting. Yeah. And that, you know, when government is so interventionist, you're going to get more lobbying as people try to push the government's, you know, money and taxes, you know, at somebody else.
Yeah. Chris, great to catch up. Again, go to chrispowellcolumn.com. You can read about his take on, you know, Josh Elliott, and also a couple of comments on the Republican side for governor, as well as the whole piece on lobbying with some of the numbers that are really, really high. Chris, thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, Brian. Bye-bye.